Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, thank you so much, and we thank the Lord that He is alive and well, and He is the King of Kings. Somebody asked me what we were talking about last week, and I thought, boy, that's a good thing to mention. We're talking about Isaiah 9:6, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." And praise the Lord, it's going to happen soon. And then in Micah 5:2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be the least among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, who shall rule my people Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And you see, and then Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and thou shalt not call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us," Isaiah 7:14. And we can go on. So we talk about our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then Jesus said this also. He said, "He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Jesus always connects his words with himself. And there is many prophecies about Jesus coming the first time that we've just mentioned, but there are more prophecies about his words so that we would know where they are. And Jesus says, "By their fruit ye shall know them." And so we see the fruit of the authorized King James Bible is revival after revival and millions of people saved. And so we can see by the fruit, there's so many things. God says, "I will honor my word above all my name." And so we have President Reagan make speeches up, actually upholding the King James. George Washington bows and kisses it at his inauguration. And many authors and college presidents and people of all kinds have given honor to it. And they say it's poetic and so, and that's why it continues on. Well, it doesn't continue for that reason, because it says in the Bible, "The word of the Lord abideth forever." And Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." You cannot separate Jesus Christ from his words. And Jesus, the Bible says, he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. Those stars are moved and those planets are moved by the power of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are moved within fraction of a second. You can tell where they were thousands of years ago by the great power of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I always think there is nothing that will ever stop him. And today, you know, all over the world, they're murdering Christians, people that are influenced by the devil and Satan. Almost every day, Christians are being murdered. But you know, those Christians that are being murdered, they won the victory, because nothing could stop them from saying that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. They said it right to their dying. So they actually won the victory the day they were murdered by the agents of Satan. Every time they were murdered because they refused to deny Christ, they won a great victory, and they showed who had the power. You know, down through the ages, people that had the Word of God, and the Bible says that, it says that the church of the living God is the one that upholds the truth. It is not the truth. And there's nothing in the Bible says the church is the truth, but the church is what upholds the truth. And the church is the word of God. I was listening to a debate the other day, and it was very interesting to hear. And there is a spokesman for a denomination that goes by tradition. And he was debating a Baptist preacher. And the fellow that first told me about it says he felt sorry for the person debating this Baptist preacher, because there was hardly any debate. Everything he said was refuted right away. But this guy says, "Well, where does it say that the Bible is infallible, or says that the Bible is inspired in the Word of God and all this?" And he says, "Well, the prince of the apostles, Peter, said that Paul's writings were scripture, and Paul said his scripture was inspired. And so God gave inspired scripture, but the deists that are in our seminaries and Bible schools today, they believe that God sort of just went to sleep or took off and left it. Well, he's alive and well, and he hasn't taken off and left it. He's been protecting it through the ages, and Satan has been trying to wipe it out and killed hundreds of thousands of people who've been murdered to wipe out the true word of God. We said it was given by Jesus Christ to the apostles, and they gave it, and then the gift of tongues was given so that it was translated into the languages of the world, and it said the whole world heard the word of God a number of times in the New Testament. And those translations have come down to us, and since God said he would preserve his words, it was preserved in the King James Bible because they based it on about 99% of these ancient manuscripts. And today, the modern versions that are blasphemous and attack the Lord Jesus Christ and throw them out in 100 places, they're based on about 1%, and even the 1% disagree with each other, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. And that was given to us, Vaticanus given by the Pope. And, you know, the Pope says that he's the vicar of Christ or substitute Christ, and Pope Pius XI said they should recognize him as God on earth. But Jesus said, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. So if you want to believe what the Pope says, go, you just buy yourself an NIV or New ASV. You say, oh, that's crazy. You just didn't check the references. I checked the verses, and I checked where it was different, and I read, for the last 30 years, I read every side of this issue, many, many books on this subject. And we give you the books here that you can get that have the documented evidence on what I'm saying. What I'm saying, we don't just make this up. It's based on absolute truth and absolute fact, and we're giving the proof and evidence for these different verses that have been mutilated in the modern versions. Now, you know what I want to talk about today? It's interesting, and it was found in many different language translations, but it was it's taken out of the modern versions. And that is Acts 8:37. The Ethiopian eunuch says to Philip, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip says, if thou believest that Jesus is the Son of God, thou mayest. So it teaches that a person must believe first and then be baptized. And it actually is a key verse against infant baptism. We're going to talk about that today. Now, I'm always checking these different versions, and somebody gave me an updated Roman Catholic Bible. It was very nice, easy reading and everything. So naturally, I went to Acts 8:37. And you know what I found in there? It read like the King James. It says, Ethiopian eunuch says to Philip, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip says, if thou believest in Jesus, Son of God, thou mayest. Right in the Catholic Bible. Now, you know, the reason for this is very interesting. As I studied history, and I enjoy reading books on history by every type of a person I can get it on. And we have documented evidence what a lot of church fathers have said, and we have studied these church fathers, and we have their quotations. We know all about them. Now, Jerome was a follower of Origen, and Origen was the basis of the corrupt text put out as the basis of the modern versions. And everybody got a hold of it, changed them, and they all disagree, and it's called today the eclectic text. And this is known, this is ABC stuff in this subject. I mean, it's recorded by all kinds of people with different religious persuasions. And so it's called the Alexandrian text or the eclectic, because Vaticanus and Sinaiticus disagree in 3,000 words. So it's constantly changing. And so Origen made it, and then Eusebius, his follower, and possibly Pamphilius, they copied this. And Constantine wanted an ecumenical Bible, and so he went to Eusebius, who wrote about Constantine and practically worshipped Constantine in the way he wrote. And he had 50 Bibles made. And this is taught. I mean, you could get books on this subject by all types of religious persuasions, and they will say basically what I'm saying, and because I've read them. And so he put out these 50 so-called Bibles, but they were counterfeits and they were corruptions. We said once again that 99% of the ancient manuscripts would back up the readings in the King James. It's called the Received Text, and it's found in many different translations in different languages. We said the Holy Spirit gave the translations into these languages, and these languages were preserved in churches, Bible-believing churches down through the ages. The churches, the Bible says, thou mightest know how thou dost behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And the church is not the truth. It's the pillar and ground that upholds the truth. The truth is God's word. And three different gospels, Jesus said that heaven and earth would pass away, but the word of God would not pass away. I mean, three gospels said that. And so God has protected it, and the devil has attempted to wipe it out down through the ages, just like he is today. The people that are backing the modern translations, they may profess to be fundamentalists and evangelicals, but I am telling you that they're being deceived by Satan, and they're promoting this garbage. Now, I have been telling you all along, I am not just making this up. This is not just one person saying this. We have talked and we have read on this program what D.L. Moody said about it. And we have said what Charles Spurgeon said about it. People are talking about how good Spurgeon is. Why don't you believe what Spurgeon said about the King James Bible, if you're following Spurgeon? He didn't believe in this stuff. And Moody, and we talked about Talmage said, again, upheld it, said it was a perfect translation. Billy Sunday, all of these people that God tremendously used. Billy Sunday said, if scholarship disagrees with his scholarship, go plumb to the devil. Now, you talk about talking straight. He talks straight. And he was talking about the King James Bible. And there's, believe me, today, there's hundreds of churches all over the world that believe that they have the Word of God today. Now, the other side doesn't believe they have it. They talk like they do, but they talk, we believe the Bible is the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God, and on, yeah. But you say, well, where is it? They say it's in the originals. Do you have the originals? No, you don't have the originals, and you know it. Nobody ever had all the originals. But we have it today in the King James Bible. Why do we say this? Because the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And Peter talked about this in the Word of God. He talked about this. He says, I'm going to read a passage from him. He says, knowing, Peter says this, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir up by putting you in remembrance. This is called the Prince of the Apostles. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And listen, they were there. They saw him when he went to the cross. They saw him beaten, and a number of them saw him when he died on the cross. Pilate knew it was Jesus that died. The centurion soldiers knew it was Jesus that died. All the apostles knew it was Jesus that died on the cross. It wasn't a fake person put on that cross. The whole Bible said he came to die. And John the Baptist said that Jesus is the Lamb of God which cometh to take away the sins of the world. He said he came to die. And Jesus said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give my life a ransom for many. And Isaiah 53 describes his death agonies and why he died. Psalm 22 talks about his death. The whole Bible talks about Jesus' death. Why? Because when Jesus died, he was punished for every sin that we ever did or ever will do. And the Bible says he sat down and said, it is finished. Our salvation is complete forever. And I tell you, some of you are getting older, and you know the time is going to come when you're not going to be here very long. You better get right with God. And you know, God wants you to repent. You'd be sorry for your sin enough to turn from it and ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior and forgive your sins. You could, the dying thief who did nothing good, was not baptized, didn't go to church, didn't read the Bible, and he says, we deserve to be there. Now, you got to say that to God. You got to admit you're a sinner. And he says, this man has done nothing amiss. He realized that nobody ever was sinless but Jesus. And he recognized who he was. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And I tell you, if he can save the thief and if he can save Paul, who tortured and murdered and consented to the death of Christians, he could save you. And you have a rude awakening if you think that murdering somebody that doesn't believe in your religion is going to get you to heaven. You're going to wake up in hell, and you better make sure you got this thing right. But God is a God of justice and judgment, and every sin will be paid for, but he's a God of love, and he says, I'll come and pay for every sin you ever did. And the Bible teaches this. Blessed is the man to whom God doth not impute iniquity. He doesn't count iniquity against you when you're saved, because he counted against Jesus. And he counted the righteous life of Jesus, who is perfect, to you if you're saved. What kind of a deal is that? You cannot beat that. No religion teaches such a thing. And you need to get down off your proud horse. You know the devil controls people through pride. That's why you got all this Bible confusion, where a new counterfeit comes out every 2 or 3 years, because it's money and it's pride. And just because your Bible school or seminary may have taught that, I heard a guy in the Bible school that I taught, he talked to somebody, the guy says, well, I got degrees. Yeah, well, you may have degrees, but God doesn't pay any attention to that when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, Peter says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you power coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, we talked about that all through the Bible. All the prophets of God said that Jesus was the Son of God, and God said it from heaven. Isaiah says it, Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon says it. God has a son, and I'm not going to believe somebody that came hundreds of years after Jesus, that some counterfeit person died on the cross and Jesus wasn't the Son of God. I'm going to believe what the prophets of God all through the Bible, read it for yourself, said. He's our source. And God said in Psalm 2, thou art my son, this day have I will declare the decree of the Lord. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And they take begotten out of the modern perversions. That's satanic. And it says, a day in time, that refers to Jesus' carnation. He had the very life of God the Father in him when he took on a human body. And it says that in Psalm chapter 3, and then he says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Zion is the hill that Jerusalem is built on. Mount Zion is the mountain where Abraham was supposed to sacrifice his son, a picture of Jesus, who is, when he was supposed to sacrifice his son, the angel said, God said, don't do it. I will be the sacrifice. And so 2,000 years later, Jesus was sacrificed for our sin on that very mountain, and it was a picture. Abraham said to his servants, he said, we will come down, because God had promised him that through his great-grandson that he would be a blessing to the whole world. When you accept Jesus, you get the blessing of God on you, every conceivable blessing. Peace now, joy now, eternal life with God, a home in heaven, a new body. Now it says in verse 48, And he said, this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. They heard him, God saying, thou art my son. We have a more serious word of prophecy. Now he says here, and this is the prince of the apostles, as they call him, a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto the light that shineth in the dark place. He is saying, we have something more sure than seeing hearing the voice of God the Father out of heaven. My lands, and we have something more sure. What is that? the scripture. It says, you take heed as the light shineth in a dark place, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. That's the problem. They take scripture out of the context that it's written in, and they take it out of the context totally, and then put a false meaning to it. You have to study every verse in the context of the chapter. And listen, don't let anybody tell you some educated person has to understand it or tell you what it means. God wrote this Bible for you. If you love God, you got God and the Holy Spirit to show you what this book means. Then it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And they say, well, you people are just Bible believers. Well, yes, because the Bible teaches that. Peter taught it. We're reading what Peter says. Why don't you read what Peter says? God has given us the scripture. And he says, now, then it says in chapter 2, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Well, that's exactly true about these modern versions. I mean, they say that Jesus' father was Joseph. They say that Jesus was a sinner in the book of John by taking out one word. They say Jesus was a liar. You know, you need to buy this book. Which version would Jesus use? Believe me, when I advertise these books, I don't get one single penny from these books. I'm putting this program on, and I'm not being paid to put this program on. Some Christian is supporting the program, and Manaway Country Baptist is supporting it. By the way, I will be preaching there this coming Sunday and out in Aurora. But we're telling you so that you have these books. You could see it, the absolute documented evidence. You want to see who puts this garbage out? Read Hazardous Material by Gail Riftinger. It's a 400-page book. And you have the internet. Get on the internet. Look at our website. Or look, you could find it on other websites. It's damnable heresies. And it says, denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. The new ASV is promoted by apostate fundamentalists. You might as well have a Jehovah's Witnesses, that particular perversion. It's terrible. And when that was put out, the pastor of Moody Church was helping to get the people together to put it out. And after he was shown all the perversions in that, he came out against it, and he was against it the rest of his life. He's the pastor of Moody Church. And he talked to the fellow that put it out, Lachlan, and he says, I'm afraid we're in big trouble with God. And Lachlan says, when I come back from my honeymoon, he says, we'll talk about it. He never came back. He came back in a box. He died on his honeymoon. God, this is serious stuff, messing with God's word. He doesn't want it, somebody to mess with. The Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And that's the evidence that we're saved, that we're going to heaven. Now, I'm going to give you another book. I talk about these books all the time, and you could check it on the internet. It's called Landmarks of English Bible Manuscript Evidence, about 400 pages. It's a textbook in large pages, and it covers this subject in every detail. Landmarks of English Bible Manuscript Evidence, Comprehensive Study in Bible Introduction for Use in the Training of Men for the Ministry, prepared by Pastor Robert J. Sargent, prepared for training of men for the Baptist ministry, but it's good for anybody's ministry. Prepared for Pastor Robert J. Sargent. And I mean, it covers everything. So get these books. You know, Al Davis had to do a funeral today, so he didn't come in. But you know, when this subject was brought up, he started to do the research and check it out. And if you're a preacher, check it out. I mean, this is the words of Almighty God. And there's thousands of changes in the modern ones. You got to have the Word of God. Jack Howell said one time, if I didn't have the Word of God, yeah, I'd find out where it is. I'd get on a plane. I'd knock on the door and say, I want the Word of God. And he said, if I couldn't find it, he says, I'd get a gun and I'd go to that place and I'd say, I want to see the Word of God. Well, we have it today. And many of the great Christian leaders have told us it's the King James Bible. It's not just the King James. It's the King Jesus Bible. The absolute, infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.